Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy Broadcast for the Persecuted Church is not a call-in show. It's a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is September 11th, 2019. And the scripture reading this week is found in Deuteronomy chapter 21, starting at verse 10 through chapter 25, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 through 10. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 12, verses 1 through 50. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. On Twitter, you can find us at hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. You can listen to all our shows from warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Tonight, the articles... No, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the show. Be sure to follow The Watchman on Blog Talk, Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes 1 and 2, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Warn Radio on Acast. Show videos are on Facebook, and we're also on Google Play Music. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. This week we feature Traveling on a Highway of Our God, a Global War Prophecy Focus by The Watchman. World Moving Towards Global War Prophecy Focus 2019. Every year we always seem to be on the brink of chaotic global war. For many years, radicals have made war globally. Christian genocide is occurring in the world, while nations face cataclysmic storms, floods, and unrest. Also, Christian hope makes us unashamed. Even as we live in a world where we are surrounded with division, hate, and war, there is hope. Yet in this world, many face hopelessness. America has everything going for it. It is still free. It is not embroiled in a civil war yet. People can still be free to drive, walk, play, and work pretty much as they want to. But our own hatred, our own desires, and our own selfishness has brought us to our knees. So you can read those articles on warn-usa or danaglennsmith.com. Tonight on the show, we're going to cover Antichrist persecution, Chinese dissidents, Leah Sherabu, Israeli war, and more gospel news. And today in America, Christians feel the opposition to traditional faith and values daily. While the struggle here in the U.S. continues, the world is embroiled in hatred, violence, and death towards the Christian gospel. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana.
Greetings.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. And I'm going to do this little one thing and we'll be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at
warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Well, good to be back.
Yes, it is. We are here, and it is in September the 11th. This is the date so long ago that Muslim terrorism truly came to America. The planes hit the towers. Everybody remembers it. I remember where I was at. I know where you were at, and you called me up, and you told me that planes had hit the tower. I was so busy with what I was doing, I didn't see it. And, you know, I've been on Instagram. We have a lot of people that we follow. A lot of people are joining us, but we do have a lot of people that are tied up to a lot of the headlines, a lot of things going on, and everybody was putting remembrances of 9/11 up. And
I remember that where I was.
Where were you?
At work, and one of the owner's wives called, and I happened to answer the phone, and she said, "America is under attack." And so we went up to the break room to watch the TV.
Well, you know, we've been, as I've said, the first time I mentioned to Tower what was coming to America many years ago was back in the early 70s. And this portion of our ministry has been going on for over two decades now, engaging in teaching, preaching, advocacy, and warning America and the nations. And, you know, we talk about 9/11. And when you tell me how you found out, and when I discuss it, I can't help to get emotional. Because this is the only country I've ever known. And when I was, well, it was a long time ago, when I was showed what was coming, everything was concerning the country and who, you know, where I lived. And so it's been personal for me for many, many years, as well as a duty. And Tower's been doing that too. And it's still our country. And it's still a country that has a lot of good things, but we have to be aware of the enemies in our nation today. We have enemies in Congress. We have enemies in the state houses within these United States. We have enemies within the judiciary, the judgeships in America. These are people that fundamentally dislike the nation as it is and want to change it. We have people within the military the same way. So these are many of the areas, if you look, and you know, from the pulpit to the legal system to, you know, the government, there are enemies. And, you know, this is the problem we have today. And so America needs to awaken to the truth that if you're going to stand, you need to stand up righteous. And that's all there is to it. You need to be righteous. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we're not a theocracy, this is the nation that has had a Christian influence my whole life. And my dad's life, and my grandfather's and grandmother's. And as far as this nation goes back, we've had major Christian revivals. We've had Christian voices. We've had various things pouring out from the churches. The church was always the salt of America. And in these last days, we've lost our way. And that's the tragedy. So on this 9/11, I hope and pray that we get back on track. Because 9/11 is a warning. America needs to repent. That's the warning. The churches need to repent. That's the warning. The government, the judiciary, everybody needs to repent. Because America today, as Obama said, is the America of the Jew, of the Muslim, and of the Christian. But today, we have many voices that want to overthrow this country. I'm looking at Psalm 2, and the first verse says, "Why do the heathen rage? Or why are they tumultuous? And the people imagine," that is, they murmur, they meditate, they roar, a vain thing, emptiness, worthless, to no purpose. And in the world today, not just in America, we have many voices that are roaring and want to be heard. And they spend all their time screaming and hollering. And you know, we have them on the left. We have them, you know, wanting to change America. We have endless people, things flowing out of the liberal media, just disparaging Trump. And we are not a nation united. We are divided. And although Psalm 2 speaks to the heathen worldwide, I can see plenty of heathen in this country right now that need to shut up. They need to repent. You can't tell these people anything. And that's the problem with people when they demand answers. They're not willing to listen, so all they do is argue and push their point. They don't listen. That's the problem.
That's too bad. Yeah.
And so, you know, a couple of places. One thing I saw as interesting is in India, some 500 Christian youths marched in protest against the BJP-led state government in India.
Good
now that's man. That's a Hindu party there, and according to their message, the government has been abusing its authority to harass and intimidate the state's Christian minority. And one of the leaders of this movement, a young man, he says, "We are facing an unprecedented situation," said Abin Lakra. He said, "The government agencies are supposed to support us, that are supposed to support us, are out to harass us. The government's attacking our basic rights. We have every right to follow any religion of our choice and live in our own land. But a government that should protect our rights is harassing us." And we can surely say that from what we've reported, that is the case. Wouldn't you say so, Tower?
Oh, I would.
And the other thing that I think that is interesting, this is also new news. This comes from International Christian Concern. They're talking about North Korea. And, you know, one of the ways that has always been a problem, and that is try to find a way to enter a closed country to give help to them. And so there is a ministry. There is a little ministry that ICC found out about that they're assisting with. They send bottles of rice into North Korea by sea. And in each bottle of rice is a USB stick containing information about the gospel.
Huh. That's cool.
And the guy that set this up knows about the sea. He's a seafarer. That's what you could say. He knows the currents and how to ensure that these bottles will reach the shores of North Korea. And this is getting the gospel out. This is not by satellite. You know, this is not by internet. This is the old thing where a guy was on an island or some gal and they put a note in a bottle and throw it in the ocean. You know, hoping someone will rescue him. Well, this is literally, you know, throw the bottle of rice. You know, they probably go out in a boat offshore and know the currents that'll go right in there. So they just dump them out in the ocean and let them go. I mean, it's hard to say where these things end up at, but I was really happy to hear that.
Yeah, that's amazing. It benefits both them, you know, physical and spiritual. We need to pray that those bottles will get into the hands of the people and that they will come to know the Lord.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. That's a pretty awesome ministry, I think.
Well, I think so too, and I think it's innovative.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, I love it. I really
do.
And of course, we've talked about over the years the time they were flying balloons over. And there was that other story about this guy that got a hold of a Bible and he wallpapered his outhouse with it. And the North Korean communists saw it and they were laughing because he had wallpapered his bathroom. Now, if he had a Bible, they would have killed him or put him in jail forever, him and his family.
Right.
But since he put all the words on the outhouse wall to toilet paper it, they thought that was okay. So he said, and this is the testimony that this guy had, he said he would read the scriptures. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and this goes back to the old thing, and I've even asked you this question, you know, how many promises do you need in order for it to be a promise of God that he can keep? All you need is one promise. We have an entire Bible. And most of the time, people don't even read the Bibles. The scripture is so important that this guy is willing to sacrifice some of it in order to read the other part of it, because otherwise he wouldn't have any of it. Now, you think about that. You know?
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Well, that's commitment. I mean, look at America.
It is.
You know, we've never known this. We don't want to have to know it. But we need to wake up and we need to see God had a blessing on this land. And that blessing is through his son, Jesus Christ. It's not through any other God. Now, you know, the bottom line of it is I'm not opposed to other faiths coming in here. I'm not opposed to their living here. But there's one God overall. And that's the message I have. And it's going to be that way till the end of time. And we as the church, we as the born-again believers need to have a message that's direct and doesn't waver. That God loves you, he sent his son, and you can know him personally.
We also need to quit taking things for granted and get into the word
and
memorize it, because one of these days it will be gone.
Well, you know, and you and I talk about this a lot, you know, many times, Tower and I, when discussing issues, we will discuss also the issues that's facing the persecuted church, because whatever issues we have in America, we turn around and look at the brethren in Christ around the world, and what do we see, Tower, when we see them?
Well, we see persecution. Their faith is what astounds me, is how strong and committed they are to the Lord. And they don't even have the full Bible like we have. I think it's amazing that God, and it's God, he gives them that supernatural power.
Well, you know, and this leads me to that Chinese dissident. And he's on faculty at Washington's Catholic University of America. And he, you know, and he's a leading Chinese dissident, so reports CBN. And he's tackling the fact that Trump is taking on the dictatorship in communist China head on. Now, his first name is Chin, but he said this: "I've had a lot of experience in dealing with the Chinese Communist Party, and I understand them," he told CBN. "Trump's taking hits for waging this trade war with China and escalating tensions with the Middle East. But in a recent Washington Post op-ed entitled, Trump has the right strategy on Beijing. As a Chinese dissident, I'd know," Chin writes, "as someone who has spent years with the knife edge of the Communist Party bearing down on my throat for my human rights work, I know that the president is onto something. Tariffs yeah. and economic threats may be blunt tools, but they are the kind of aggressive tactics necessary to get the attention of the CCP regime, which respects only power and money. The Chinese Communist Party is a party of hooligans," he said in an interview. "If I had to describe it, I would say it's a party that has taken all the worst from authoritarian regimes around the world to use it for its own benefits. Trump, whatever his flaws, grasps this reality. Unlike many of his predecessors in the White House, Trump appears to understand innately the hooliganism and brutality at the heart of the Communist Chinese Party." And he adds, "The only way to make progress is by landed pointed blows."
Yeah.
So this is
good for him.
He says Trump is the first president in recent memory to seriously say to this communist dictatorship, if you want to keep doing business with us, you have to change. And I think that's true.
Yeah, I do too.
And so
and
that's
all the others are just pussyfooting around them, you know, just letting them have their way. So they would be politically correct and wouldn't hurt feelings. And
that's right. You know, and the thing of it is.
And the Chinese have done a disservice to their people. All they've done is heaped riches on themselves, and they've made the workers poor. And they've abused them, and it's just wicked. It hasn't helped the Chinese people out. It's helped the government and not the citizens.
You know, we've been talking about Wang Yi and the early Rain Covenant Church there that got closed down, one of the biggest ones there, and the ongoing persecution. So pray for China and North Korea. There's a lot of them to pray for, that God would open a way and make a way for the believers.
Yes, amen.
And so are you ready for your Nigerian intel on Leah?
No, I was going to do the Vietnam one first. Is that okay?
Yeah, well, whichever one you want to do first, that's fine.
Okay. This comes to us from Open Doors, from the UK and Ireland. We remember Jesus saying, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these," Matthew 19:14. In Vietnam, the reality for the young children is this. They're attacked because of their parents' faith. And this six-year-old girl named Fu, it's not her real name, it's changed to protect her. She's recovering after being attacked because her parents had converted to Christianity. And Fu was in a coma for a month after she was beaten. Her attackers hit her on the head and punched her in the stomach. She's 6 years old, mind you. She became very ill and had severe head and stomach pain and had to be rushed to the hospital where she fell into a coma. And even when she eventually awoke, she was unable to recognize her parents. Why was this six-year-old attacked so brutally? Solely because her parents had recently stopped the village practice of ancestor worship, choosing to follow Jesus instead. And of course, this angered the local authorities, who whipped up rage across the whole village. And before Fu was attacked, her parents were beaten and forcibly dragged over out of their village in northern Vietnam, pulled by ropes tied to their hands. The angry villagers shouted at them to deny their faith, but they refused. They endured being mocked, beaten, and dragged over rocky ground for more than 2 hours. Once they got to the entrance of the village, Fu's parents were told to leave, and members of their church took them to a nearby hospital where they were treated for 3 days. And the family pastor spoke with local authorities, asking that they be allowed to return to their homes. Permission was granted, but villagers continued to threaten and curse them because of their newfound faith in Christ. The family described each day as a torture. God's grace and love sustains them, but their lives are extremely hard. And Fu is too young to understand why this happened to her. And her injuries mean that she doesn't even remember the attack. That is really sad. Do we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Vietnam? And Vietnam is number 20 on the world watch list. And, you know, the communist government monitors Christian activity and exercises a high level of pressure on all Christians. You know, you'd think they'd have better things to do, like our country would have better things to do than concentrate on impeaching the president.
Well, you know, you would think so. And as far as these countries go, we've seen it time and time again. And in my article that I wrote today, we'll publish it hopefully by tomorrow. I deal with a lot of these issues. But, you know, make no mistake, folks, that as much persecution as we see, and, you know, and the end times when they fully come in, there is a victory in Christ. There is victory, and there is a lot of nations that are persecuting Christians simply because they are afraid, because so many of their people are becoming Christians. That's why China, North Korea, that's why India, that's why we see this happening time and time and time again. Now, you know, Morningstar News talks about India in one of its latest articles. And it talks about this person by the name Emmanuel, and I'm not going to relate his last name. Most of these are pseudonames, but these are names that are usually made up to protect them. There was 100 villagers watching the end of a Christian film. Now, see, I come out of a time, and so did Tara, when use of Christian films as evangelistic means in countries was a well-known way to reach them. And most of the villages had no way to watch movies. So when they had a chance to watch movies, they would all be gathered around, because the people who brought them had a way to keep it plugged in and to run it the whole nine yards. They brought all the tools with them. Well, right, you know, towards this end, a guy stood up and demanded who the operator was. And of course, this man who was in charge stood up, and they got to talking, and the man wanted him to turn the volume down. Now, this guy's in the audience now, and they're viewing a gospel film called He Will Come Again. The Lord's coming again. You need to get saved. So at any rate, he kept asking him to turn this volume down until you couldn't reduce it anymore. And he told him that there's only 10 minutes left and we need to finish watching it. So this guy left in a huff and they turned it up and finished watching it. But the guy came back with 15 Hindu radicals. And of course, when they come,
oh,
they bring
goodness.
Swords and bamboo poles and wooden sticks. Now, if you've ever seen the stick that a lot of these people use, there's bamboo. If you get the bamboo poles, which are fairly thin, they're like a whipping stick. They are really, really tough, and you can beat someone to death with them. They're really, really, this is what these people use all the time. And so they begin going after him. And so at any rate, the villagers, of course, called them languages and scattered the congregation. You know, they came after the house. So everybody split. And before long, the mob of 15 became 250. They threw stones, they destroyed stuff. And this is what we see in India a lot. And sometimes they beat the living hell out of these people. And then when they do go to the police, at least when we see the stories or when we hear the testimony, the police do nothing. And, the Hindus wanted to kill at least one of them by being beaten to death to teach them a lesson. They wanted to end Christianity in the village. And so the Christians, anyway, stood up, told the cops they didn't want to press charges. They said, "We didn't come here to cause trouble. We wanted to spend time in prayer and fellowship. We didn't want anybody to get in trouble or arrested." And this is the attitude that these Christians had. And so, when we talk about it, the bottom line of it is, they had been doing this throughout several villages with no problems. But just this one village, is where they met the opposition like this. But see, we come across this
all
the time.
That's too
bad. You talk about India all the time, that this is what happens there. And of course, our relationship with India goes back a long, long ways. And we know how dangerous it is. It's
well,
amazing.
We read about and we hear and we see persecution going on in all the countries, even close to us, Mexico, Canada. They're arresting Christians in Canada. Even in the United States, Christians are harassed by people who disagree with them, it's going to become more so in the United States because of the lukewarmness, I believe.
Yeah. Well, in our next story, we're talking about Israel again and Jerry Golden. Of course, he's a ministry over there that is to bring Jews from over in Europe and stuff to Israel. But everybody has been pretty much over in Israel preparing themselves for the next war. Now, we've been talking about this war for over a year now, because a lot of the Israeli generals, the people there that watch this, have been warning about this war. And Jerry was talking about the 400 million plus Arabs that are around them in all the nations are closing in on you, shouting for the world to hear, kill the Jews and destroy Israel. He says that's the reality of living in Israel.
Yeah.
And he says, Arab Muslims form the roots of Islam, but they're only 20% of the total Muslim population. So this is like 400 million around Israel who are interested in destroying Israel, Jerusalem, taking over the whole thing.
Wow.
Because according to Jerry, they see it as a way that if you didn't have a Jewish Jerusalem and Israel, then the prophetic word of God cannot happen. Faith in Christianity would plummet. We'd be witnessing the great falling away. Well, we're already facing the great falling away. And, you know, the thing of it is you can fall away and still go to church. That's the key here. You know, just because you're in a church doesn't mean you're not lukewarm. Just read John's letters to the churches. He was addressing Christians already in the churches. One of them was a dead church, and they were in church, and they were dead. So make no mistake, when we talk about falling away, they're not out in the woods somewhere. They're in churches, and they're dead or they're lukewarm. So get this through your head. This is what we're talking about. And, of course, the Muslims, all over, they've been trying to destroy Christianity anyway. And these are issues that is going to continue to happen. It's not going away. Now, as far as the end of Christian faith, that'll never happen. That just, you know, will never happen. Now, will there come a time when the Antichrist will have everything pretty much under his thumb? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, as far as spiritual Israel goes, and the Christians and the Jews who know the Messiah, that'll never go away. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's the gist. That is the key to my article that I wrote today, was the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And so I urge you to read it when it gets published. So, you know, as far as the time frame, I always look, we're coming up to trumpets, which is coming up here pretty soon. And then we've got the high holy days, and then we got the Day of Atonement, and then we've got tabernacles. So make no mistake about it that the Muslims like attacking on Jewish holy days. So whenever you get into a lot of these feasts, this is what they target. And so remember the Yom Kippur War. So Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. It is the holiest day of the year. It's the commanded fast, the only commanded fast in the Bible. So the Jews are going to be in their temples, you know, they're going to be reciting scripture and praying from early in the morning all the way through the entire day. This is the practice that they do. So make no mistake, this is definitely a threat. And we're right in the middle of it. But see, this is where God put Trump in. I believe this because Trump is pro-Israel. And so if something happens to Israel on Trump's watch, we know that he will help them. And so this is why the Jews even look upon Trump's time as him being a type of Cyrus. Cyrus is the one who commanded the Jews to go back and build the temple and commanded them to go back. He literally set them free from Babylon. So, you know, I look at this fall. I don't think anything will happen this fall, but could very well happen in 2020, especially around the spring feasts. And so, see, because in the wintertime, you don't make war. And in the spring, you do make war. That's the old thing when we talk about wars and nations. Winter is the time to feed, get fed, you know, stay warm, survive the winter. Then spring and summer and fall, that's the war time. So at any rate, we'll see. But we know that God
will not
forget Israel. So at any rate, you're ready to read your other... thing.
This story comes to us from Morningstar News. It's regarding Leah Sherebu, and more than a month after an aid worker indicated in a video that kidnapped Christian teenager Leah Sheribu had been killed, a government official in Nigeria on Saturday, August 31st, said she was alive. Citing intelligence from security agencies, presidential spokesman Garba Shehu released a statement reaffirming the government is negotiating with terrorists for the release of Leah and other captives. And he said, contrary to false reports, Leah is alive. Given assurances from our security agencies, and the government is committed to her safe return as well as all other hostages to their families. Shehu said, instead of giving up, the government is carrying forward processes that should hopefully yield her release by the captors. And they say the lines of communication remain open with the kidnappers of Boko Haram, and they're now called the Islamic State in West Africa province. And they're committed to getting them released. And, you know, the family, the government understands the trauma the family is going through, the family and friends are going through with the abductions of loved ones. And they understand how difficult it is, and that's why they're pursuing many options to ensure the safe return of Leah. The worrying cycle of speculation on whether Leah Sheribu had been harmed by her abductives is what has made us to speak out. The government has negotiated with Boko Haram for the release of the other girls, and the administration does not encourage payment of ransom to secure the release of captives. For this reason, he said, the government was not rushed to yield to the demands of the terrorist group. And I agree with him. Kidnapping for ransom should never be encouraged. You know, they don't want to capitulate to the demands of the terrorists and reward them for their heinous crimes. That's what it would be. And Leah, who is 16, has been in captivity since February 19th, 2018, over a year and a half. She was abducted alongside more than 100 other students in northeast Nigeria. And while the other girls were released March 21st, 2018, after the kidnappers negotiated with the government, the terrorists refused to release Leah because she refused to renounce Christ. Good for her. And in July, we know we talked about the video that was released in July 18th, about this woman saying that Leah and some others had been killed. And she pleaded with the Christian leaders, the Nigerian governments, to intervene and help release the others. So it's a sad situation. I never believed that Leah was dead. I never believed she had been murdered. I believe she was alive. And we've been continuing to pray for her. And so keep Leah and all the others in prayer that they'll be released. It serves no purpose for them to be held like that. Pray for them to have favor in their captivity.
Well, you know, also Wang Yi in China, he's the pastor of the Early Rain Covenant Church. He's still in prison. His wife has been released. A number of the others have been released, but there's an ongoing crackdown in China. We'll just have to see how this thing plays out. In another story out of Myanmar, I remember seeing the video of this when Trump was talking to people from other countries who were facing persecution. And one in particular got to talking about And he's from the Catchin Baptist Convention. He's Reverend Sampson. And, of course, he had expressed some support in response to a decision to impose sanction on certain individuals. And, of course, there's no religious freedom in Myanmar or Burma, as you would call it. And so you have oppression, torture, and fighting that goes on there between various ethnic factions, which is kind of par for the course in a lot of these countries. And this man had requested Trump support, the support of the government's transition to democracy, genuine democracy and federalism. In the end, this guy got in trouble when he went back, and he was speaking what really happened in the country. And, when he said that he agreed with U.S. sanctions, they got mad. And, so in the end, a court document was brought out talking about him, and he got charged. And, of course, his lawyer said that they didn't know how the court will proceed. And, of course, the police have to testify. But, you know, this is the problem. You know, I mean, here's a guy that is talking to Trump. The news comes in, and they happen to catch it. And, of course, who would know, but the people on the other side of the world are watching this because we're so interconnected, you know. And, you know, this guy stood up and gave his view, and guess what? He got in trouble for it. And we still don't know the outcome, but all of these governments, watch what you're saying. Every one of them.
Yep.
And of course, it really comes down to a mess as far as I'm concerned. A guy doesn't have the right to do anything. He can't say anything. Because you have pompous dictators and police who wield the sword there, and nobody can fight them, so they wind up in prison. I mean, that's the way it works. It's just like
not
this
fair.
Islamic State of Nigeria, a bunch of pompous yahoos who, of course, they're in Africa. Africa's always had problem with tribalism and wars. And, of course, Islam comes along, and they have found a perfect excuse to wage war. And, of course, the basis of Islam is to make war and die for Islam, and you'll be in heaven, you know, with all kinds of benefits. So it fits. So they continue to make war, and there is no Islamic state. There's theology, but they're pompous enough to sit over in a corner of the world and declare them the Islamic State of Nigeria. Well, you know, we've seen this under Jonathan Goodluck Johnson and under this current Buhari that's over there, and nothing's ever been done. And, you know, this is the problem, is that most of these regimes, the legitimate government, don't have the money or the weapons or the army to fight these thugs who go hide in the forests, you know, with all the animals. And go hide, and the army can't get to them, and then they go out and attack innocent people, easy targets, and think they're big heroes because they're kidnapping little girls or killing people that don't have no arms. This is what's going on in Nigeria. This is what's going on in a lot of these countries, and this is exactly what's happening over in this Burma area, where you have these people wielding this. Now, you know, wake up, smell the coffee, and straighten up. That's what you need to do, but it's not that easy. So at any rate, we've got about 9 minutes. Do you want to read your last one?
Sure.
Okay. And then we'll quit. That'll be our last one.
Okay. A few short days ago, the second of two Iranian Christians was officially imprisoned by a religious biased national judiciary for her faith in Jesus Christ. This comes to us from International Concern. Iran continues crackdown on Christianity. In the past few years, the Christian community of the Islamic Republic of Iran has seen growing levels of popular and state-sponsored persecution. Fatima Bakhtri, a young woman, and Sahib Fideh, a house church worker, have been respectively sentenced to 12 and 18 months in state prison. These charges were based on spreading propaganda against the regime. That's how they termed it. The cases against them were put down in writing last year, but only in recent times were their appeals able to be heard and considered. In the end, appealing the charges levied against both of them was boiled down to the mere question of whether or not they would recant their hostile faith and embrace Islam. As both Fatima and Sahib denied the opportunity before them, their cases were closed and their sentences were enacted. Sahib, currently serving time on account of his faith, was mandated 2 additional years in state exile in a remote corner of Iran known as Nabandan in the south of Khorasan province near the Afghani border. On August 31st, Fatima entered Evin prison, one of the harshest such institutions in that nation. Evin prison is a favorite among Persian popular locations for sending convicted Christians to serve their term, despite its function as a political dissident prison. Being an Islamic republic founded upon the tenets of Islamic faith and clerical governance, Iran's perception of religious deviance is akin to how any other state may perceive a foreign agent conducting espionage. House churches are equated to a continuing attack on Islam within the nation, and thereby the nation of Iran itself. Iranians are born as Muslims, and their conversion is not recognized unless they can prove their family were Christians prior to the 1979 revolution. Unbelievable.
Well, that prison was where Abedini was at.
Right.
A lot of them,
I remember that.
A lot of the prisoners are sent there. I mean, he made it out.
I can't believe they sent a woman there.
Yeah.
I can't believe they sent a woman there.
Well, they, a lot of them, they don't care. They just all lock them up individually or however they do it. I know it's bad. Nevertheless, you know, these are the things that people put up with. And then we have these sniveling people in America, you know, I mean,
I know it drives me crazy,
real problems, but, you know, like the things I see that people spend their time on Twitter talking about, I mean, give me a break. We have articles and stuff from our websites flowing 24 hours a day, practically, from our websites. A lot of times, let's put it that way. And when you go on Facebook or any of these number of other social feeds, what they really talk about. You know, there's a lot of issues today, but, you know, people today, especially, you know, those who are centered around the internet, become so self-absorbed, they can't see anything. And for Christians today, it's imperative that we pay attention to what's going on around us in this country and wake up and stand up, because you've got enemies here. They're going to take this country from you if you let them. And you have to stand up for the persecuted church. And not just for the persecuted church either, because you have the big storm that hit. Samaritan's Purse is down there, along with others.
In
they
the
sent up a set up a mobile hospital. You know, the things that America does through the humanitarian organizations, many of whom are Christian, go out filled with the love of Christ to help others who are in trouble. And make no mistake about it, we do this. This country has done this for a long time. So with
that's
that,
right.
we're coming down. We got a few minutes left. You have anything that you want to say or anything?
Well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines and our continuing study of Isaiah's prophetic book. It'll be part 16, The Righteous Branch Reigns. The Righteous Branch Reigns. And so that'll be tomorrow night on Battle Lines. Be sure to join us for that. We thank you for joining us whenever you do. We love you. We pray for you. We appreciate you. We're thankful you come and listen. May God richly bless you. And we're praying for you in the Bahamas and the Virgin Islands and the eastern part of the United States that's been hit so horrible with this hurricane. We pray and pray for your brothers and sisters around the world, the persecuted brethren. One day you may need the prayers. And we love you, and just God bless you richly for all that you do for him. And with that, I say good night.
And remember to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and you'll also find the player on the front of those sites, and below that a lot of links where you can find the broadcast at other places. We also on Warren USA have a full article and the audio embedded in all of our website there. And it goes back years. We've been doing this for years. So there's a lot of resources there, a lot of articles. You can get in on a lot of stuff with Warren Radio and all of our pages on Facebook. You can follow. I encourage you to join us on Instagram, because that's really a fun site. And we have a lot of good things coming through there. A lot of positive, a lot of uplifting, a lot of education. And we have a lot of people. Over the years, I've interviewed a lot of people, and I'm following a few of those just to give you some of the idea of what they do as well. So with that, you know, have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow night. Be blessed, folks. This is The Watchman and Four Tower again. Shalom, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.